Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for the fullness of the hour by an absolutely delightful lady who is so beautifully earnest for the kingdom of God. Her name is the Reverend Susan Zaleski. She pastors the Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, up in coal country near Scranton. And Pastor Susan, I'm so pleased that you would join us for the hour. Welcome aboard.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's my honor, actually, to be able to speak with you. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it is a privilege. We became acquainted recently. You had requested Bibles, courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society. We had a delightful conversation that became extended, and I became vitally aware in that over that phone conversation, my goodness, what a wonderful radio guest you would make. So God bless you, truly. And I want you to know, you did tell me that this is your first radio interview. And I've been doing this now for over 7 years, but each and every broadcast is fresh and original. So for me, it's always new also. So we're embarking upon new territory together. Pastor Susan, I invite you, please, during this first segment of time, I'd love for you to share with our audience your story, how you came to faith, how you found your way into the ministry of the gospel. Share with us something of yourself.
Well, absolutely. My mother was a trailblazer. She was the first female pastor in our area back in the 70s. And she became assistant pastor to a little Italian church. It was called the Holy Spirit Italian Pentecostal Church. And the pastor there was Reverend Donato DeAndre of Dunmore, Pennsylvania. And he started it. And when my mom first walked in there, they were singing in Italian. And you know, she's not too much, speaking of the language anymore, you know, being, you know, here in America. So she was struggling with that. But she ended up becoming, the main pastor there when that pastor passed away. And he started that church asking for donations. And the funny thing about it is my mother was born and raised in West Pittston. And he actually went to her house and my grandmother gave him money to start building that church. So she was a little girl. So God foresaw that she was going to take over that church. So then I came along and my mom, brought me up in the church and I started teaching Sunday school. And my dad was an attorney, a criminal lawyer, and he would, defend, people. And my mom would say, come on to church. So that's how it got started. And I just was raised in the church and I just always had a calling on my life to serve the Lord. And there was no denying it.
Well, Pastor Susan, as we shared over our telephone conversation, I'm a Welshman, but I was raised amidst an Italian community. My beautiful mother was considered to be the finest non-Italian Italian cook around. My father was a criminal trial attorney, and while I can't say that he invited any of his clients to church, he wasn't a Christian at the time, I did get to witness and had a role to play, thank God, in seeing my beautiful father come to know the love of Christ before it was too late. What a wonderful thing. So you were raised by an advocate. I mean, lawyers are known as mouthpieces. They're advocates. Jesus is our advocate before the bar of eternal justice. And your mother was a pastor and so a shepherd. So just in our conversation to date, you have, I discern in you, both the advocate, an advocacy for Christ, and also a shepherd, a shepherdess. I love the old school feminine language. You are endeavoring to lead people into a closer awareness and walk to and in Jesus Christ. It's something very precious. May I ask you, when did you yourself come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Was it all of your life? Was there a moment in time? Tell us about this.
It was all my life. I've always drawn near to the Lord. But I did have my situations in life where, I had, heartache, and I had problems, and I had hurt, and I had disappointments. And, I was left a single mother, and that was one of the most gut-wrenching things in my life, because you have now this little child that you have to raise, and to do it on your own, you know, the first thing I did was hit my knees, and I prayed to God, and I said, God, and my prayer was so little. You know, we limit God, right, with our little prayers. I remember I prayed such a little prayer, and I was in a real state of brokenness. You know, it's as a shepherd, you know, we're supposed to look after the lambs, right? And when they're in a state of brokenness, you know, we have to build them up and give them God's word, and we have to, you know, encourage them. And it's hard for pastors because we have to be the shepherd. But sometimes what happens to the shepherds? They're going through, you know, their own hurts. So I hit my knees, and long story short, God made everything in his timing, not mine. He made everything work out for me. And, I met a nice man, and he adopted my son as his own. And, helped me and helped raise my son to have a father. We live in a world today where, you know, we don't have a lot of two-parent homes. They're broken homes, and I see that so much in my ministry. But God came through, and God's going to come through for every listener. You just have to pray and have faith and remember it's his timing. You know, we want what we want. We see one page of the story, but God sees the full book.
Now, Susan, yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Amen and amen. I offer this next quip with affectionate humor. Your husband, you are the Reverend Susan Zaleski, so you obviously married a Polish gentleman. I trust your Polish husband knows how fortunate he is to have married into an Italian bloodline.
Well, his stomach and his weight gain will tell you yes.
Yes. You know, I interviewed a lovely lady, several years ago. She and her husband oversee a thrift shop ministry. They have a number of thrift shops throughout the Philadelphia suburban area, and it's motivated by the love of Christ. And she was sharing her story. She too her life was a mess, and circumstances were dire. And she cried out to the Lord that she needed a husband who could help her. I mean, and the Lord raised up just the right man for her. Clearly, he raised up the right man for you. My beautiful wife, now with the Lord, found herself with three children out of wedlock. She didn't know the Lord at the time. I'd like to think that I proved ultimately to be the right man. I came along much later. But God does know our needs, and he does orchestrate on our behalf. And I love what Jesus said. I believe it was in the Gospel of John. My Father is always about his work, and I too am always about my work. And we are so grateful because his work is always operative on behalf of his people. And you as a shepherd and a shepherdess, and as a pastor and myself as a shepherd, we are always to be mindful of our people. But let me also ask you, in anticipation of being so mindful, when did you yourself actually become pastor of Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church?
Well, I've always, like I said, I remember 10 years old, my mom put me to work. I was teaching Sunday school at 10 years and 11, 12 years old. So I was doing that, and I would be getting communion ready. And I'll never forget the moment when my father said to me, I was 19 at the time, and I've always worked in the church, but I'll never forget the time when my father said to me, I have a young girl here, and she's struggling with drugs, and I need you to talk to her for me, Susan. I need you to minister to her. And, I looked in her eyes. I took her in the office and I looked in her eyes and I was ministering to her. And I'll never forget the time where I just bowed my head and I said, Father God, like King Solomon, please help me. Give me the knowledge to minister to your people. And I started little by little. They were, you know, wanting help. They were wanting advice. And I felt so proud that very moment when my father asked for me to go in and minister to this girl. So I would say about 18, 19 is when I started to minister. My mother said, well, we're going to do every other Sunday. So I want you to prepare your sermons. I started with closings, and that's what I do with my son. He does the little closing, which is 10 minutes. And then about 18, 19, she said, I'm going to have you now do full sermons, and we're going to switch Sundays. So about 18, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, I praise God for your, clearly you're a woman with a sense of calling, and clearly by way of now our second conversation, an anointing, I praise God to be sharing his service with you. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski of Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church of Dunmore, Pennsylvania. We return with more of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski, pastor of Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. You know, Susan, when we first met over the telephone, maybe a month back, we found our conversation was extended simply by virtue of the chemistry of our conversation. And, you know, I experienced on Saturday, this past week, I was chairing a panel discussion at an African-American fellowship in North Philadelphia. It was in concert with the Juneteenth Festival, and the theme was the redemption of health. And we were asking members of the panel to share, who had been traumatized, to share how the work of God had taken them through their trials and risen them above the fray of it all. We didn't have much of an audience because of the weather. And we found, however, that just amongst ourselves, we had such a blessing of conversation and mutual edification and pleasure. And we all had the pronounced sense that God had anointed our time together and that it was worthy in and of itself, and that perhaps there was still more to be done down the line as a shared ministry together. Conversation to me has its own place in the ministerial spectrum. It can be anointed of God. I just came out of a Bible class before we're doing this recording. And again, there was this anointed assembly, sharing of the issue of faith versus doubt and how God took us into some new terrain of understanding. I think you and I share that. And I have no doubt that when you're sharing with your people, that it's a similar situation. So I'd like for you to tell us more about your church, Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church in Dunmore, PA. Tell us who you have and what goes on. Give us a flavor and sense for your ministry out there.
Sure, absolutely. Our church is completely volunteer. You know, God blesses me. You know, he's the ultimate employer, right? I'm his servant. So we volunteer all our time. And I am a pastor and my mother is a pastor that we are accessible. And that means they have our private cell number. If they need us, we are there for them. We go and we fellowship after church. We go for lunch with them. But the main thing about our church is we deliver that word in truth and in purity. And we have hearts that are, you know, broken. We have stories. We have empathy. You know, we have an inner city ministry. And there isn't anything that we don't do for the people. You know, every holiday, we have events for them, and God just provides. Amen. He just provides. So we're able to have pizza parties for them and help them out. You know, we're a church that helps, and we see, you know, where there's a need and we step in and we're accessible. And I think that's the main thing. Pastors have to be accessible to their sheep. They're looking to these pastors and these priests and these nuns and whatever faith you're in. They're looking to these leaders for guidance. And, you know, you build a friendship. First you make a friend, then you make a convert. Amen. So they have to see your light. So I just, you know, I just pray and I ask God that he gives me the wisdom and the knowledge to help and you know, the Holy Spirit to give me divine supernatural wisdom so that I can minister and help in the areas that are needed. But we're all hearts. You know, we're Italian. We love. That's how we are.
I well understand. I do indeed. I share a similar conviction concerning the nature of pastoral ministry. I've been here in Conshohocken for almost 37 years. It will be 37 come Christmas time. I left Boston, Massachusetts as a young adult. I was single. I still had hair. I'm now widowed with no hair. But my beautiful wife of 26 years, we shared the ministry together. She was not a pastor, but she had a pastoral role. And we were very, I mean, at the core of who we were as a pastor and his wife, we were endeavoring to shepherd his people. They were our family. They were our friends. You know, I've never understood the pastoral philosophy that you should not be friends with your congregation. I don't know how you can adequately minister. I mean, you can't be buddy-buddy with everyone. Right, I get that for any number of reasons. But we have a genuine familial encounter with God's people by nature of our role. Now, you've talked about meeting needs. You've talked also, and I think this is foundational, you speak the word of God with a purity and with integrity. I know that you do Bible classes, and this seems to be one of the things that is core to what you do. You have attendees via a phone link from all around. We can give the specifics to our audience a bit later, but tell us about this Wednesday night Bible class. You're getting people calling in from all over, aren't you?
Yes, I'm very excited. It started with just our congregation, and then as I got to meet people and then they meet people, we ended up having a Bible study at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, where everybody calls in. You just put your phone on mute, and we begin to do the different books of the Bible. Also, I'm accessible. If somebody calls in from North Carolina, they could say, Pastor, I'd like to speak to you, and I could set up a time through this this Bible study line where we could speak and I could help them and minister to them. So I'm very grateful that we do have this line where it could go, all over in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously treat the ministry. I know that you're a volunteer on one level, but ministry is far more than simply a full-time job. It's a lifetime vocation for you, is it not?
Oh, every minute of the day, I am either preaching, ministering, counseling, praying in the word. Because, you know, as a pastor, many are called, but you are chosen. When you are chosen by God, you love to be in his presence and you love to read the word and you love to minister. So it's my life. It's my life. This is how I live my life.
Well, you also have that Italian bloodline. I, having been raised amidst Italians, and my lovely wife was Irish, I have a lovely friendship with an Italian woman now, and it's reminiscent of my earlier years amongst Italians. I was raised by a Welsh woman with what I call Welsh hospitality. And so much of what I bring to the table as a pastor is the product of having watched my mother give herself over to everyone in the love of Christ throughout life. And clearly your mother has done the same. You're now setting a similar example. I'm curious, we just have another minute in this segment. But your lovely husband, what's it like for him to be the husband of a lady pastor? Does he, I'm sure it comes with challenge, and he must be so proud of you as well.
Well, it is challenging because you are a speaker, so a lot of people look to you for advice, and he's a good man, and he's very he's very supportive. And I think, you know, pastors' spouses need to be supportive. He is the silent, you know, the silent behind me, but he does so much. He helps with the church and he, you know, spreads the good news. And, you know, without his support, I don't know if I could do all that I do. I'm able to minister to people and devote my time to God 100%. And, you know, without having, you know, him by my side, you know, I would have to, you know, do other things to support my family and things, and it would take away from my ministry. Yes. So I'm blessed.
Oh, I well understand. And on the other end of the commercial divide, as I am wont to call it, I'll share something in compliment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski of the Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church, Dunmore, PA. We return for yet another round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski, pastor of Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church, Dunmore, PA, returning for yet a third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Susan, you were sharing with me just briefly, you're married to a gentleman who is in compliment to you. He is not the pastor, but he compliments and renders service alongside of you, supports you. I was blessed with my lovely wife. In fact, I often said, and I mean it literally, she was my backbone. And she was fully invested alongside of me in the work of the ministry. Perhaps not every spouse can offer that, but my wife did, and your husband clearly does. I know a lovely pastor Veronica. She's up in the state of Maine. And her husband, Dean, is a wonderful support to her. It's a small little Church of the Nazarene. They're located in Cundy's Harbor, north of Portland, right along the ocean. It's a charming little spot. And they have a congregation of maybe 15 people. They might max out at 20. I'm very small myself. And it was just a joy to watch them working in concert with one another, in complement to one another. And so it's just a precious thing when a man and a woman are supportive of one another in service to the kingdom of God. Susan, what is it like? I'm pastoring in Conshohocken, which is just outside of the city of Philadelphia. So I'm within the orbit, the intimate orbit of a major metropolis. I always have been, whether Boston or Philadelphia. You're pastoring, I think, in an urban context, but surrounded by more rural territory. So the life is a bit different up there. So what's it like bringing the gospel to bear up there in Northeast Pennsylvania?
Well, I think that, you know, people are people. So they do suffer with a lot of the same, same life tragedies. We counsel, people going through divorce, people who, have great tragedies in their life, especially addictions. I just want to say, going back to what you prior said, our conversation, it's so important that we're evenly yoked. You know, when we pick partners, God has somebody so special for us, right? And we live in a day today where, you know, relationships are throwaway. So I encourage people who are listening today to seek out God when you're, you know, picking that mate. It'll save yourself so much heartache and be evenly yoked. And I always said, before I date somebody, they have to be a Christian and they have to go to church with me. They not necessarily have to be at the level I'm at, but they have to have a willingness. And that's what, you know, I encourage, you know, people in my church, because, you know, they're lonely. You know, they're lonely, and there's so much with the internet. And so our ministry is basically, you know, for the hurting and the broken. And come as you are, you know, whatever that is, come as you are. God has the remedy for it.
You know, I'm pleased you're taking this line of thought. Earlier in my ministry, separate from one another, we had two men come amongst us different times, and they were both earnest for the gospel, no question in my mind. But they were also single men. And along came a lady, one in the first gentleman's life, one in the second gentleman's life. And they were beguiling. They were very attractive. They were certainly beguiling. I can't blame the men for being attracted, both in terms of the physicality of the ladies or their personas, at least up front. But that being said, neither woman had a heart for God. Mm. And they were both sucked away from both the church and from any pursuit of an encounter with Jesus Christ. In the case of the second of the two men, I've never heard again from the first. In the case of the second, the relationship went rancid. And in the final analysis, she was mocking him. Mm. And he took his life with a shotgun. I was one of the hardest things I ever had to do in ministry was to funeralize my friend. But he met the wrong woman. Mm. She was outside of the faith. She had all kinds of, when I say demons, I don't mean she was possessed, but the turbulence of her life, you know, demons flock to this. So we can be oppressed, not depressed, possessed, but oppressed. And he just was in over his head without Christ. It was so very sad. So yes, an overwhelming affirmation of being evenly yoked. I've also found, Susan, and you tell me what you think pastorally. Certainly God made us male and female, and it's not good that we're alone. But in a fallen world, we will often find ourselves alone, male or female. And I have, for instance, in 12-step ministries, a very dear friend of mine who does a broadcast with me monthly will share the same thing. When you attend an AA group or a 12-step ministry group for Christians or whatever it is, you need to focus upon getting right with God and getting your life in order. And the worst possible thing that can come along is a member of the opposite sex, because now you're compounding your problem with another person's problem. If we could seek the Lord for patience, and we take that time requisite to what we need, when we've been able to establish a foothold of stability, then we're in a better position to meet someone of the opposite sex and perhaps have a constructive and fruitful relationship. But I just, for people who are struggling with whatever it is, I learned this myself a long time ago. I needed that solitude in order for God to be able to do his work in my life. And I was fortunate in that I had the help of my parents. I had a very close friend who was also an Italian. I had a psychologist, an evangelical psychologist, who was also Italian, okay? It's helpful when they're Italians. I've learned that. But we need to have that one-on-one opportunity with God for whatever length of time is required. And so that's my position, and I have every empathy for when people desire to meet someone. But as you have stressed at the beginning of this section, it has to be the right person. We know in the very least, categorically, that Jesus Christ is the right Savior and Lord of our lives. Now, you're ministering up there in the Northeast. You have a wide network through this wonderful ministry on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. We'll have you give a formal announcement of it in the next section. What does a female minister, any minister, but you're a lady pastor, you're happily married, you have a fine son, you give everything you have to the life of ministry, but when you need some downtime, how do you get to relax? Because I know as a pastor how the demands can be placed upon your time. How do you protect yourself, and what do you do to relax?
Well, yes. I mean, you have to guard your heart, and you have to find ways, that are relaxing. I'm a very artistic person. I love to sing. I love to write poetry. I actually am a cosmetology teacher. I have my license, so I do love to do hair and nails. I'm very much a girly girl.
You're girly, okay.
I'm very girly. So I enjoy writing, and I enjoy writing and singing to the Lord. You have to find downtime. And again, just to go back to what you were saying prior, in your most brokenness, you do need your time with God, because that's your crushing period, right? So when you crush an olive, what happens? You get the olive oil. So when you're so broken, and this is what I did during my time of brokenness, I got my Bible and I submerged myself in the Word, and God will lead you. Psalms is a wonderful book. You know, it's encouraging, and read the stories in the Bible and encourage yourself and submerge yourself in the Word. And little by little by little, you're going to get strong. OK, and then when you're strong, then God will work in your life and you'll meet that mate and you'll get that job opportunity and doors will open up. But you have to give it to Him. Give all your brokenness to Him at the foot of the cross and allow Him to heal you. And then that's when you're going to start to see favor in your life. In a turn.
Well, the great South African revivalist and devotional writer from the late 19th, early 20th century, Andrew Murray, one of his classic volumes is entitled quite simply, Absolute Surrender. We cannot hold back whatever our riches on the one hand, our brokenness on the other. Everything must be given over to Christ at the foot of the cross. There's no substitute for this. And when we lay it all at the foot of the cross, I think it releases us and gives us allowance to cry out to Him at the deepest and most pure level. Yeah. And I have learned, Susan, and I'm sure you have, when we cry out to, when we petition God, and we have every right to petition Him and every right to expect a response, but we may have to wait.
Yeah.
But I have found that when we cry out to God, He responds immediately. There's something about a heart's cry that warms God's heart, and he responds almost immediately. My experience, to be sure. But Susan, time flies when you're having fun on radio. And we've reached the limit of our third segment. We have one more to go. We're going to make it count. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski of the Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church, Dunmore, PA, we return in just a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski, co-pastor with her dear mother of Holy Spirit Pentecostal Church in Dunmore, PA, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Just two bits of advertisement, if you will, one from me and one from Pastor Susan. I would invite you, friends, to go to your website and look to voicesofphiladelphia.org. Again, voicesofphiladelphia.org. We have been constructing an audio Bible using known voices throughout the area. If you would not be inclined to attend to Scripture in and of itself, perhaps knowing the voice, loving and trusting the voice, might lead you into an appreciation of God's Word. We have radio talk hosts, classical music radio hosts. We have the leading Roman Catholic priest in the city of Philadelphia, amongst others. The New Testament is fully uploaded and available for your tuning in. Voicesofphiladelphia.org. Pastor Susan, I know you have this very special ministry on Wednesdays, if you'd care to share with the audience.
Absolutely. The phone number is area code 646-769-9900. And I'm going to repeat that because I could see people scrambling for a pen. It's 646-769-9900. And there is a code that you have to put in. It'll say, please enter your prayer code. And it is 18512#. So it's 18512#. And I will be on there. And after the Bible study is finished, you could just say, Pastor, I'd like to speak to you, and we could pray and whatever else that you need.
Well, praise God.
Wednesdays at 6.
Praise God. Wednesdays at 6.
Yes.
Excellent. Now, Pastor Susan, you have a wonderful, along with ministering to your flock of human beings, you have a deep love for God's sentient creatures with fur. Yeah, especially cats, but not exclusive. I love cats myself. Tell us about your love for and your ministry to animals.
Well, I wanted to be a veterinarian growing up, but that didn't pan out. But I've always loved animals. And I've noticed that if you look in the heart and the eyes of an animal, you could actually see, especially in cats, you could see that they're hungry and they're destitute, and they're out there trying to fend for themselves. And some have babies, and it's a hard life for them. So they don't have a voice. Okay. So I started off with one little kitten, and she was coming around. Her name was Mayana, and I named her Mayana after St. Anne. So I started to feed her. Long story short, I got her spayed, and next thing I know, she comes out with four babies. And I said, oh, wow, so now I have five. So it's very hard to find homes for cats. There's so many of them. So I actually went into just praying and saying, God, you know, what am I going to do with all these cats? So I started renovating and building a catio on my downstairs deck. So I built a catio for these four cats, and I'm just blessed to have them. But there's one cat in particular that I just want to share very, very briefly. You know, as humans, we have all kinds of anxieties and all kinds of fears and all kinds of things, right? So there was this little kitten that came, and I remember saying to God, I don't want any more cats unless a long-haired kitten comes, because I love the long-haired kittens. And a long-haired kitten showed up, and I said to my husband, I said, oh boy, I said, we have to trap this kitten. So I remember praying so hard for the Holy Spirit to lead it into that trap. And it went right into the trap. And now the thing about me is I don't like worms, bugs, mites, germs, fleas. I do not like any of that. So we put it in quarantine in the outside garage till we get it to the vet the next day. And I said, now make sure you give it all its medicine. So it was in quarantine for 2 weeks. And, you know, we brought it into the house, and I remember I thought it was a girl at first, and I'm going, oh no, this is a girl. I'm going to name it Teresa, or I'm going to name it Miriam, you know, after the Blessed Virgin Mother. So I remember I fell asleep, and I got woken up, and this voice said to me, which is, it was God. I heard it in my sleep. It was like a dream. It said, look up the Hebrew name of rock. So I woke up and I Googled it, and the Hebrew name is Eben, E-B-E-N, Ebenezer. So there's a story in the Bible about the Israelites won the battle, and there was a rock that was called Ebenezer, and that was going to stand for God is our rock. And long story short, the cat ended up throwing up a big tapeworm, and I was so like, God, you're really, you know, when you pray for God to strengthen your faith, he does. So, you know, God in the grand scheme of things said, I'm going to work all good for you, for those who love the Lord. And I overcame some things that I was grappling with, and God will give you strength in the little and in the big. But this cat just promoted a sermon for me about God, how God is our rock, how we're going to raise our Ebenezer, and he's going to be the rock of our life. And that's the story about that one cat that I rescued, and he's in the house.
It's a precious, precious, priceless story. I have comparable stories, but I want that one to be accentuated, so I'm not going to compete with my own. But I will tell you, there's a question that many people ask. I mean, we love our pets. Will our pets be in heaven with us? And I think the classic understanding is they don't have souls and they won't be. I tend to disagree with that, although I won't dogmatize it. And I disagree with it along this theological line. If God is just, and he is, but if God is just, will not even his sentient creatures of the animal world be on the receiving end of justice? For instance, I just finished a biography of the great Frederick the great Prussian ruler of the 18th century. In one battle, 1,700 horses were killed. Is there justice for those poor creatures? So along that line, I would draw the inference. I can't dogmatize it, but I would argue that animals will be with us and they'll experience life removed from human fallenness. My opinion. I'm just so grateful that you love animals. Pastor Susan, I'm just so grateful that you love your flock. And Pastor Susan, I'm just so grateful that you love Jesus. 15 seconds, I want you to have the last word.
Well, I think the last word is going to be a prayer for all the listeners. And I hope it reaches their hearts and their minds. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, everybody who is listening into this radio station, Father, I ask you to bless them and touch them, give them wisdom and understanding, Father God. I ask you, Lord, to lead them, Father God, into the churches that are going to minister to them, feed their spirits, Father God, feed their minds. I ask that addictions be broken off of everybody today, a blessing over their family, over their children, over their finances, Father God. Touch them in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Susan Zaleski, we wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Thank you.